Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
James Bond is coming back to the big screen in cinemas in the UK, and we're hoping to go to every one of the 25 films. Join us as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of our favourite British agents by watching them all in order. We hope you guys are watching them too, so please let us know your thoughts. You can find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and our podcast is available on iTunes and Spotify, as well as video episodes on YouTube. Simply search for Really 007 Pod. You Only Live Twice saw Bond visit Japan and meet Blofeld.
Welcome, Honourable 007. He's the one and only Sean Connery.
Welcome to Japan, Mr. Bond.
He's bigger than life. Facing 1,000 deaths. And you only live twice. And twice is the only way to live.
We're too late.
Well, at least he died on the job.
Bond is dead.
Bond is alive. Kill Bond! Now!
No matter what the odds, they don't stand a chance against James Bond, Sean Connery, 007. Bond, the world's greatest gentleman agent with a license to kill. And he never misses a chance.
What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
Bond is back, grabbing love where he finds it.
Like a lamb to the slaughter.
Everywhere. Bond rises in the East. The odds, 1,000 to 1. But they don't stand a chance.
Get down!
All this is just a drop in the ocean. The best yet from the film creators of 007.
Tiger said, from now on, you must do everything in Japanese style.
Everything?
Well, it's me again, Harry, attending Bond on the big screen, and this is only my second film. Dr. No was the one that I saw first, but then I have missed out on From Rush With Love, Goldfinger and Thunderball, so I've been agonizingly missing out, but hearing all the recordings and the documenting of all the experiences of listeners and viewers who've just been having such a good time. And so for that reason, I'm absolutely thrilled to be returning to the cinema to see Sean Connery as Bond on that big screen. And I'm even more thrilled because John has driven all the way over to Leeds to see it with me. He's made the journey. He's left his wife and kids behind. And just abandoned ship just to watch You Only Live Twice in Leeds. So, John, thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure. You owe my wife one.
Yeah. The last time John and I were in Leeds together was my stag do.
Was it really?
I assume so.
Yeah, actually. I bet it was, yeah.
And that stag do is in real danger of being eclipsed tonight, I think. You Only Live Twice at the cinema. I was just briefly catching up with John and sort of talking about how I've really been looking forward to this one. He was asking me if it's one that I've particularly picked out. And I don't quite know if it is, but as I've got closer to this day, I've really built up the hype and there's so much I'm looking forward to seeing. What about you, Ed? Is it... because you've been to everyone, haven't you?
Yeah.
How does it feel building up to You Only Live Twice?
I'm fully expecting to have an absolute experience with it. I'm someone who naturally goes for like ranking things and all the rest of it, and I've realised after watching these first four it's absolutely pointless because they are just glorious, and the films they're made for the big screen.
Oh.
And when I think of You Only Live Twice, there's two things that really come to mind with me. Firstly is the obvious thing, the Ken Adam volcano set, and seeing that at that level is just going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the second thing that I noticed last time I watched the film is how stunning the cinematography of this film is.
Right.
And yeah. I know that sometimes we grate on about how they're obsessed with that in the later films, but actually the cinematography in this film, the shots of Japan, especially over the waters with the islands and stuff, are some of the most beautiful shots of the whole series.
It really is. When back at the time of release, when it was a window on the world, taking the audience to Japan like they do in this is just magnificent. And those are pretty much the same things I'm going to point out. Obviously, I saw Dr. No and I absolutely loved it. But the change of scale now for me is what I'm looking forward to. And even just thinking about the young listener or viewer Jack, who's been going to see them at the cinema. That young boy who's been contributing. For him, this must be another huge adventure for him to see at the cinema. For a young person to see, a young child, the scale of it, and like John's mentioned, a volcano that's also the villain's lair is just incredible. And this will be the biggest slice of Ken Adam I've had at the cinema, and then some, and I can't wait for that. And also, it's my first John Barry experience at the cinema, and, you know, one heck of a score to take on. But yeah, I'm just absolutely buzzing with excitement to see it, and I can't wait. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to record before I see it.
I think the only thing for me as well is that you just mentioned about children.
Yeah.
Obviously, Roald Dahl wrote the...
Yeah,
he wrote the screenplay to this. And I think you can see, because it's got so much imagination in
it,
with stuff like Little Nelly and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It must be a dream for a kid to see this at the cinema.
You're right. This is the one, really, where... you should really be encouraging your kids to come along and get them hooked. And I think, you know, as all the great effects that we have nowadays and the capabilities with CGI, seeing all the practical stunts, practical effects, and then the sets actually on location, not green screen, it's going to be something special that would capture the imagination of any child, I think. So, I'm looking forward to being a child myself tonight, I think. I'll be in wonder watching it. But I suppose time's ticking, we're better...
Get in there.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
See you later.
We will.
Hey, it's Sam again. This time I'm at The View to watch You Only Live Twice. I'm so excited for this film. Even more excited because it's so warm outside now that it makes me think that I actually could be in Japan because of how warm it is. But no, this is absolutely one of my favourites. This is probably about seventh in my rankings. So I think it's my second favourite Connery film. I'm a little bit scared that the film's going to make me understand more why people don't appreciate it as much as others because of Connery's performance in particular. I've never had such an issue with it, but now that I've seen the others on the big screen, I'm worried that now I'm gonna really truly understand it. It's gonna affect how I feel about the film, but I'm just so excited for, I mean, mainly the sets. Ken Adam's designs really just come to life in this film and just the whole location of Japan is just so exotic. It's probably one of my favourite locations overall in Bond. I adore Aki. I adore Little Nelly. Yeah, so I'm just so super excited to watch it. I think I'm watching this film again, actually, with the Really 007 guys. So I may not do a follow-up to this until I watch it with them. But yeah, as it's one of my favourites, I'm just excited that I'm going to be able to see it twice. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Really, really looking forward to it, if you didn't tell already.
Okay, so we're here at the Odeon Trafford Centre. I've not been here for 10 years, but I'm here with Maff and Sam. Now, I know I've just spoken to Sam, and he said you were here for the No Time to Die premiere.
Yes, I cried in the cinema last time I was here, so that's good. I'm not going to cry this time, for sure.
Well,
I mean, tears of happiness, probably.
Maybe when Aki dies, that's quite a sad scene, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Goodness, it hurts me every single time, and, you know.
No, it does.
Yeah.
You know. But were the tears for No Time to Die? What, at the end, or?
It was, it was tears of don't do this to me, don't do this to me. Like, yeah, that's what it was. It was tears, and then my friend who was with me, like, don't talk to me until the credit. I need to see James Bond will return, and then that happened. I was like, okay, I can go now.
Okay. When were you last here, Matt?
I was just trying to think. I definitely watched a Daniel Craig film here. Him and Harrison Ford in Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But no, I've been more recently. I think I watched 12 Years a Slave here, which is obviously
I don't really
want to joke about that.
No, no. We used to come, me and Rob, almost every Tuesday,
really?
Saying. I remember watching Deja Vu here.
Oh.
Some real crackers, basically just action films in the 2000s. But
yeah,
not been for ages. We've had John and Harry met in Leeds at the weekend to watch it there. In the reclining seats and everything, but this is maybe the one I've been most excited for so far. Mm. No, but Sam, you've already seen it on Saturday.
Yes, because I'd already had it booked, so do I want to get rid of it? And I could have, and I was like, no, I want to see it, and yeah, I'm not going to spoil what I thought yet, but I mean, I went into it going, I know I'm going to enjoy it. The only thing I'm worried about is that these past four films have been so good, and Connery's performance, you really take notice of in this one. Everyone goes on about You Only Live Twice and how he's just bored or he's mad or whatever else, and that it's just not up to par with the other performances. So that's the only thing that I went in thinking, oh, this could this potentially lower what I think of this film, because this is quite high up on my list, so like it's in the top 10. So
well, you're here again, so that's a bit of a spoiler in itself. Yeah. But... oh right, so it's in your top 10. Brilliant.
Yeah,
it's same here.
Number 7. It's number 7.
Yeah, it's good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many other good elements. I think. Despite, I mean, Japan's probably one of my favourite locations in any Bond film.
Yeah.
And I think in this particular era, like, whether it's on the TV or on the big screen, you've just got to be in awe of it, basically.
You just got to imagine what people were thinking in, 67? Oh, no one's, you know, probably never even seen pictures of Japan, never mind been there. Certainly hardly anyone would have been there. So to see that, that's the only thing I feel sorry for the new ones, because you can't really do that there. In this world where travelling's quite easy, it's difficult, but... the multicolour cinematography, the score.
Oh, yes.
These are all things. You are the score, yeah.
Yeah, sets.
The set, it's got the A-team on it, hasn't it?
Yeah,
because, like, with each of them, it's been cranking up, you know, the sets and the budget and the scale of the whole thing, but this is where it's really... I mean, this now is as grand a film as you can see, and this is meant to be seen on the big screen, surely.
I think it's the last of these first five... it marks an end after this one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the change in styles from the next few films are just totally different.
But I mean, the difference between this and 4 years before from Russian Club is insane.
Yeah.
Like, difference. I feel like Honor Majesty, it's, you know, it's like the last of the 60s films, and then it's got that mix of what has happened here and the mix of the Dr. No from Russian Club feel, and I feel like that's its own unique brand. And then Diamonds Are Forever goes, takes it, get ready for Roger Moore's 10 years. So, Yeah, this is kind of like a good finale for what it was. If it ended here, I think a lot of people would have been like, okay, I think apart from Blofeld going on the run, but, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, that happens in Diamonds as well, doesn't it, technically?
Well, yeah. Well,
can't wait for that, though. probably one of my three or four that I'm most looking forward to. Yeah. I don't know why. Just because we talk about it all the time, don't
we? It's such a go-to, an easy go-to now that I'm like, to see it up there. Anyway.
Right.
You Only Live Twice. That's
You Only Live Twice. We're here. We're going to absolutely love it. And hopefully there'll be quite a few Bond fans there with us.
Hello, this is Gary Kay at the Odeon in Bath. Just about to go in to watch You Only Live Twice. What I'm looking forward to most with this film is going to be seeing little Nelly in action on the big screen, hearing John Barry's fantastic score, and viewing Maurice Binder's beautiful title sequence, as well as so many iconic moments in this film. And the great Sean Connery once again playing James Bond. Speak to you later.
Hi, my name is Chris Schofield. I've just come out of Blackburn View Cinema, having watched You Only Live Twice. It looks incredibly stunning, as have the previous James Bond films I've recently watched at the cinema. I missed the Thunderball, sadly, and Goldfinger, but I watched Dr. No from Russia with Love, and they look amazing, really do. What they've done to these films, restoring them, it's just a work of art. The film itself, it's never been a favourite of mine. There are elements where I feel it's like Thunderbirds meets James Bond, but the set at the end, it just looks absolutely belting. Ken Adam, yet again, amazing, absolutely amazing. And the big screen, it just looks incredible. It makes you wonder what it must have been and felt like when the people watched this film for the first time back in the 60s. Anyway, that's my thoughts. I enjoyed the experience. I thought it was great to watch it on the big screen. But it makes me want to hanker more for watching my favourites than opposed to this one. I'm really looking forward to watching Spy, Moonraker, Live and Let Die, and then my first film I ever watched at the cinema, Living Daylights Again at the Pictures. That, I can't wait. Anyway, take care. Thanks, guys. Love your podcast. I think they're brilliant. See you later.
Hi, Trevor Baxendale here, just out of seeing You Only Live Twice. Now, Thunderball may have been the biggest Bond yet, but it remained very much anchored in the novel, and You Only Live Twice is the first Bond film to abandon any real pretension of being a faithful adaptation. It's the most ridiculously ambitious Bond so far, and yet, on the big screen, it meets every one of its outrageous targets with style and pace. The standout set pieces really do come into their own, from the bloodstained segue into the beautiful opening titles, right through to the ultimate big screen extravagance, the volcano lair. It is still a breathtaking triumph of design and production. The detail and the magnitude evident on the big screen, it is genuinely stunning. And there's so much to pack in the final reel. Donald Pleasence's Blofeld is a much more sinister villain on the big screen, and his silent bodyguard, he just looked huge. His fight with Bond at the end was the best I've ever seen it. It was massively elevated by the cinema screen and sound, as was the whole of the sequence earlier with Little Nelly and the battle in the air with the helicopters. That is just the best I've ever seen it. I can see why people are so fond of that sequence from all those years ago, because on the big screen, it just flies. I have to say something about James Bond himself. It's no secret how unhappy Sean Connery was during the making of this film, but there's very little evidence of that in his performance. There's no complacency. There's no lack of focus. He's on point in every scene and still absolutely owns the role. Now, it would be disingenuous to say that he's a revelation on the big screen, but seeing these early Bonds at the cinema really drives home why a whole generation consider him to be unquestionably the best James Bond. Although he's the first, he nails down every single aspect of the character. There's really nothing more to add to the role. After Sean, you can only do variations. Connery is the original, the blueprint, the masterclass. He's cool, he's funny, he's hard as nails, and in the sequence where Aki is killed, he shows just the right emotion for Bond. Like the death of Tilly in Goldfinger and Paula in Thunderball, it's all there in his face and eyes, for just long enough. It's not overwrought or performative, but you get a glimpse of the compassion, the anger, and the steel beneath it, conveyed in a moment. Now, you can contrast that with the easy playfulness, if you like, of his one-liners, or when he's with Moneypenny. And all Connery scenes with Lois Maxwell are like this. You see what a consummate performer he really is. He flirts, but always on his terms. He's never embarrassing or smart or insincere with her. I'm completely in awe of him. To sum up, you only live twice. Once when you see these films on TV, and once when you see them on the big screen.
Hello, this is Gary Kay again. I've just watched You Only Live Twice at the Odeon in Bath, and I've got to say, it's probably the most I've enjoyed the film. Although I thought that in the main, the colours weren't as vibrant as they were in, say, Thunderball or Goldfinger beforehand. The fight sequences are certainly some of the very best in the Bond series. And the aerial shots, the dock fight sequence everybody tends to refer to, doesn't disappoint on the big screen, and Barry's soundtrack at that point just sounds phenomenal. Also, the aerial shot that introduces the ninja sequence of the ninja base looked absolutely stunning, really showed off the Japanese architecture and the Japanese landscape beautifully. Stunning looking shot. And the other thing, with the bit that I was looking forward to most, was the aerial sequence of Little Nelly. And wow, how phenomenal that looked on the big screen. The flamethrower button sequence looked absolutely superb. The effect shot for something was obviously done so long ago, 55 years ago the film came out. And Barry's use of the 007 theme and the James Bond theme during that sequence sounded absolutely superb through a cinema sound system. Certainly one of the most entertaining sequences in a Bond film. There were a few moments in the film when it did appear that Connery was not enjoying himself quite so much as he had done in the first four films. But having said that, I thought overall he was brilliant in the film. Not quite up to the standard perhaps of Goldfinger and Thunderball, but still a really excellent Bond. And it's easy to see why people regard him as, for many, their favourite Bond. Standout character for me in the film was Tanaka. I just thought that that character was one of the very best Bond allies in the entire series of films. Very well written and very well portrayed. One thing that certainly didn't disappoint was Ken Adams' phenomenal set design for the volcano base interior. My appreciation for which has grown even further having seen it now on the big screen. The opening shot when you see the monorail going around and you can see people walking down staircases and going up lifts. It just looked absolutely vast, really vast. Absolutely incredible bit of design and absolutely breathtaking to see on a big screen. Blofeld's apartment with the piranha pool looked absolutely superb again, with the amount of detail that Ken Adam puts into his set designs, second to none. Overall, I have to say, the 60s Bond films are just something else. They really are something else. And to see them on the big screen, we are so lucky in the UK to be seeing these on the big screen. And we shouldn't take this opportunity for granted. I just really hope that Eon make these films available for cinema releases in other countries this year, because I've noticed on Twitter quite a few people commenting in other countries that the films aren't being screened there on the cinema screen this year at the moment. So fingers crossed for them. As I said, I had an absolutely superb evening tonight. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. The couple of hours running time absolutely rattled along really briskly. It just seemed to be one incredible set piece after another. And all I can say is roll on next week for On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which is one of my absolute favourite Bond films. And can't wait to hear that John Barry score through the cinema sound system. And I hope everybody else that's seen the film this week in the cinema has enjoyed it as much as I have.
Hi, Patch here again. I've returned just now from seeing You Only Live Twice on the big screen. And what can I say? That was terrific. First things first, it looked incredible. Let's remember, this was photographed by the same man who did Lawrence of Arabia and later the Battle of Britain, Freddie Young. And he just makes the film look so vibrant And though, you know, in the cinema, the picture quality was somewhat grainy, that didn't stop all the Japanese locations and Ken Adams sets from looking just incredible. The volcano base, wow, that's just made to be seen this way. The final battle has never been more impactful. A lot of the time I was just, well, entranced by it. And that's something this particular film does so well whenever I watch it. I mean, often you just feel like you're transported to another world. Which it is, you know, Bond's world is a fantasy after all. Now, because I've watched this film countless times, there aren't many new things I noticed this time around. It was still pretty effective, nonetheless. I was genuinely frozen still in my seat when Blofeld was revealed. You know, on a small screen, he might just look like a little man to some people, but on the big screen, I actually felt like he was staring out right at me. Ugh, creepy. Now, the talking point that generally comes up with this film is, well, of course, Connery's performance. Now, I know what's been said about it, but I'll be frank anyway. I think it's really good. Whatever his off-screen feelings might have been, I didn't see any boredom at all. I was smiling along the whole way through with his line deliveries, all the subtle reactions in moments of tension. I mean, for example, when he's going up in the lift of the Spectre rocket, Bird One, I swear he looked a little nervous. I mean, to be fair, he's probably going on a suicide mission, isn't he? You know, and seeing everything throughout that makes him such a great Bond. I'll say it again, but I think this is a more reserved performance and one that shows Bond's experience as a secret agent over the years. I think that's a really great way of playing it. So yeah, still one of my favourite Bond films, and I'm so pleased I got the chance to see it like this. And I hope everyone else has a good time with it too.
Condensation, ice cold, liquid oxygen. Contact Tanaka.
I'm not leaving you.
Tell him to keep that ship shadowed wherever she goes.
Yasna!
Go now.
Hello, Darren Bithell here with my take on You Only Live Twice. What a difference a couple of weeks make. Having been for a weekend away while Thunderball was being screened, I was back with my still curious wife to see Yolt. Sounds like a Swedish yogurt. To see it for the first time in the cinema. The attendance was still around the 15 to 20 mark, although new regulars appear to have their fixed seats, while the old brigade seems to have faded away. Seeing these films on the big screen doesn't change why I put them in my table of preference, as I've seen them enough times. All they do is enhance the experience, and in this film's case, I was surprisingly more fulfilled than I thought I would be. First of all, there were no trailers, which meant that I didn't have to see Tom Cruise's smug face again showing he can actually fly a plane. There was an advert featuring Judi Dench being very M-like for a money comparison site. They must have paid a fortune. Secondly, the UA logo appeared, obviously taking heed of what I said in my Goldfinger review. Yeah, right. Then the gun barrel appeared with a soundtrack mix that kicked one's guts when it blasted in my ears. Then the little extra surprise of hearing a slight whoosh when the barrel opened to show a spaceship orbiting a non-revolving Earth. Although that, of course, was rectified quickly afterwards. When the pre-titles ended and the sweeping majestic song came in, I had goosebumps. I seriously underestimated how beautiful this film sounded and was indeed photographed. This Bond film is arguably one of the best looking due to Freddie Young, David Lean's right-hand man for Dr. Zhivago, Ryan's daughter, and one of my all-time favourite films, Lawrence of Arabia, all of which he won Academy Awards. John Barry's score is one of my all-time favourites in the Bond canon, from the Imperial space theme to the gentle and haunting Death of Aki and the soothing and delicate The Wedding. This soundtrack is wonderfully eclectic and cultivating. David Arnold thought the same as he watched You Only Live Twice for the first time as a child, and we know what happened to him. There are moments that the large screen viewing does show that the ADR is slightly reminiscent of a spaghetti western, and it's clear at times that Sean doesn't want to be there anymore. Perfect example is during the Little Nelly battle, in which during the superb aerial shots taken by Johnny Jordan, It's interspersed with insert of Connery looking self-conscious, wearing a dodgy helmet, as well as looking just indifferent. It's also the case in which in moments of high peril, such as the plane escape and exploding the spacecraft, he doesn't look as though everything is on the line. The Dom Perignon has clearly gone flat and above 38 degrees Fahrenheit. The rest of the cast are fine, especially Akiko Wakabayashi, who I believe is somewhat overlooked in the pantheon of Bond women. Helga Brandt is really Fiona Volpe without the menace, although she does have a healthy chest. Tanaka is a charismatic ally, yet falls below the league of Kevin Bay and Draco. Donald Pleasance is a fine Dr. Evil, Blofeld, if maybe a tad too pantomimey in regards to the Blofelds of the books. Although the sound of his voice does remind me not to go too near riverbanks, or pylons, or farm machinery. Bond fans of a certain vintage will know what I'm referring to, maybe. There are certain things that make me chuckle, and not for the right reasons. Mainly, of course, Sean's Japanese disguise. I think Inspector Clouseau would have done a better job. And it's clear that they haven't shaved Sean's chest. No man can have that growth in 3 days. Then again, Sean was no ordinary man. Also, when Blofeld states that Bond is alive, and Ozato and Brandt declare that it was in all the newspapers, they obviously didn't check the standard newspaper at the beginning, when Bond's face is plastered all over the front page. And the giant magnet. Now, I would rather have a conventional car chase with a smashing ending, rather than a ridiculous cop-out like that. The one thing I miss about modern-day Bond films is a great climactic explosive battle. Instead, we get PS4, Xbox-style stalker battles. No one did great crescendos like Lewis, and the volcano battle on the big screen was brilliant to watch. All that was missing was a slight ringing of the ears, although, as a cat lover, my heart always goes to that poor Persian trying to get out of Pleasance's grasp. To wrap up, You Only Live Twice acts as a dress rehearsal to Lewis's best Bond outing, The Spy Who Loved Me. Let's face it, it's the same film, only it's with a Bond that wants to be there, and it's not in Japan. However, I'm so pleased to have seen it, and took more out of it than first thought.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now it's time for the Aussie. All the best, guys.
We are out of the cinema having finished You Only Live Twice. It's very difficult to put into words personally. I think mainly at the moment I'm just absolutely devastated that it's over. I did not want that to end. I'm so sad that it's come to an end, because that was an unbelievable adventure in the cinema that just got better and better and better and was just incredible. I don't know if you've got anything to say, John. There's so much to say.
Before I speak about the film, I'm going to say that's possibly the greatest cinematic experience I've ever had in my life.
I agree.
The reclining chairs.
Oh, yeah.
With my own personal table.
Very posh here in Leeds. Yeah, reclining chairs. I looked over at John at one point, and he did resemble Donald Pleasance as Blofeld in his recliner chair, watching the command centre work hard.
I was just in my own world from like minute one. This was unbelievable.
John's right though. Big screen, reclining leather chairs. That mustn't take that for granted.
I mean, firstly, I'll say it absolutely flew by.
Yeah, it did. What is the running time, do you know?
It's a 2-hour film.
Yeah, that's all I know.
It's slightly shorter than Thunderball, but it's pretty standard 2-hour running time, and I'd say that one flew quicker than any of the ones I've seen.
It really is, from one sequence to another. Not necessarily action sequence, but from one chase sequence to an interrogation to an action chase or a fight, it never really stops. And then in between, occasionally, you've got some really like beautiful moments, like the wedding. I thought, I always love that. But as John said beforehand, you know, you've got all this cinematography that it's surrounded by, and it's never in a, you know, stop, slow down the film, let's look at where we are. It's part of the film. The film moves through the location so beautifully.
Yeah, it's not indulgent, is it, at all? No, it's lovely like that. What I really appreciated about the audience was they knew when to appreciate something amazing that was going on.
Yeah.
And they knew when to not take it too seriously as well. And there was laughter where there needed to be.
Yep.
One of the main criticisms that people give of You Only Live Twice is Connery being Japanese and how it's not aged very well. But the fact is that everyone just took it as they saw it.
Absolutely. I was going to say the same thing.
And that just made the experience so much better.
Yeah.
It was brilliant like that.
It was. Everyone laughed as in... We know this is daft, and but at the same time, this is kind of what we love this franchise. And it was such an appreciative audience.
It really was.
Yeah, and speaking of the audience, I mean, it really was just everything you'd want from an action adventure. There are a few moments. I was trying to think. I can't say necessarily that I've noticed anything different or learn any new levels of appreciation. Everything I've known about that film has just been completely maximised and heightened. Like, there are a few moments, like I've mentioned the wedding, I always love, and I thought just the relationship with Tiger and Bond, especially at that wedding, they don't even say anything at the ceremony, but the way they're looking at each other and all that's just brilliant. But yeah, there are moments... Like, the Kobe Doc fight is something I've always loved, just on the small screen with the music. But seeing that on the big screen, as it pans out, was absolutely unbelievable. And there was that point when I not nearly cried, but just thought, I'm so happy to be here watching this. And then, again, fairly obvious, the fight in the base at the end.
Oh,
where,
with hands.
Yeah, oh, well, oh, get to that. But, like,
we'll
just
get to that.
There's so many bits, in fact, starting with when the ninja army all line up on the sort of horizon of the volcano. And I just thought, that is so incredibly done. And so, and like I said before, for a child to go in to see a ninja army assembling, and then when they get in, eventually they sort of get in a few at a time, but then by the end when they blow a hole in, they are pouring in, the ninjas are pouring in, and it's just one of the most amazing things to see. And like the battle with them, some with swords, guns, explosions constant. And I know there's the stuff at Fort Knox in Goldfinger, and I didn't see that at the cinema, but that was just, I've never in my life seen anything like that at the cinema, because my first Bond film was The World Is Not Enough, and since then there's not really been an end base fight.
No.
These are the things that belonged on video. So, like, you know, Spy, Love Me, You Only Live Twice, these end base fights, Moonraker, all those. To see it on the cinema was just absolutely pulsating. Mm. And another kind of pinch myself moment where I was realising I'm in such a happy place here. And then, as John says, when him and Hans come face to face and the cameras are zooming in on each of them and there's a countdown music... It was just absolutely unbelievable. I even had to put my hand on John
you
at that point. It was an unbelievable moment. And I just couldn't have enjoyed that film anymore, I don't think, in the cinema.
I think what I noticed with this film, I didn't massively notice the difference in the picture as I have with some of the others, but I noticed the sound in it.
Yeah.
And I think it was the sound that really made the fight between Bond and Hans for me. You felt every hit, didn't you? Felt every hit. It was absolutely outstanding.
And it had the tension behind it, because obviously you've got the countdown and it needs to get that key, and it was absolutely... And speaking of which, the fight with the Rock's granddad.
Oh, yeah.
That, again, is something I love on video, on DVD anyway, but in the cinema, like John says, you feel every blow, and, you know, that Ryota Sato's office that the fight takes place in, the fight spreads all over it, and it's so good on the big screen. All the big furniture being picked up and smacked around. Absolutely wonderful.
The Ken Adam designs, Asato's office.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then, but I even noticed stuff in like Blofeld's lair when he goes into his apartment bit. There's like a candle section, and I've never noticed that before. And
it's a little bit like Dr. No's.
It is.
Blofeld called it his apartment.
He called it his apartment. It leads to my apartment.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It doesn't stop to look around Blofeld's apartment that much, but it's all part of that where the fight is, the mise-en-scène or whatever it's called, you know, where all the stuff that's around it, it's absolutely amazing.
I mean, can you imagine if you went to the cinema in, when was it, 67, is it? Yeah. Something like that. And you'd never been to Japan and you just went and saw that on that big screen.
And just returning to what John said about Ken Adam, Ken Adam and Japan, an absolute match made in heaven.
Yeah.
There's the stuff we've already mentioned, but also I don't know if I've ever fully appreciated how good the Japanese SIS stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Tiger's office and then his underground train. Like, whoa, this is absolutely incredible. And all, like, the sliding doors have just a slightly different look. They're a little bit more, like, chubbier and stuff. It was just remarkable. It's all coming back to me now in sort of floods, but it was just incredible.
We're just so fortunate, aren't we?
Yeah.
We are. We're just so fortunate that we're able to do that. And again, it was great that there was a lot of people in there.
Yep.
You know, people appreciating that we've got Bond on the big screen.
Yep. And it did seem to be sort of a few of the people in some sort of different generations of the same family, like a father with his children or you know, a grandfather with his granddaughter. They're just, you know, it does seem like something that's transcending generations, and that's what the cinema experience is doing. I've not even mentioned John Barry, but...
I'm sure everybody else will anyway.
Yeah.
But wow.
Just so good. Yes. Oh. Space was amazing.
Yeah.
Even the space stations, the control centres, it's such a huge step up.
Yeah.
Each time, the amount of cast members and background artists and the sets and there's so much added. It's remarkable.
Oh.
You know, what else? The one problem is now that it's going to be so hard to leave any out because it's just what an experience to come and see Bond at the cinema. I want to see... I know that I will not be able to see everyone. John's doing incredibly well. He's on a great run. I know I'm not going to be able to see everyone, and that just terrifies me. Because what... If I'd never seen that, what I've just seen on the big screen, I'd be a different person.
Yeah, we've just got to say, if you are a Bond fan...
Yes.
And you've got a bit of spare time, get yourself to go and see one of them because you just won't regret it.
Absolutely. And the cheap tickets, they're not full price. View do a really, really good price.
And if you go to Leeds, you get recliner seats.
Yeah, come on down to Leeds. There's a bed, you can stay. Everyone's welcome. Descend on Leeds. Genuinely, wherever you are, John's right. It's like an appeal.
Yeah.
It's taking Bond appreciation to a whole new level. And we didn't ask for this. This has been presented to us so generously without us even expecting it. So we've got to make the absolute most of this. So like John says, fans, get to the cinema every Saturday night. What a treat. Take someone with you. What a great way to show them Bond. Wow, you only live twice.
Just, so it seems.
Yeah. Right, we'll let other people fax in their reviews. But guys, thank you for letting us share our experience with you. That's been amazing. And John, thank you so much for coming all that way.
My pleasure, Harry. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Sayonara.
Good evening.
You made a mistake, my friend. No astronaut would enter the capsule carrying his air conditioner. Remove his helmet. James Bond, allow me to introduce myself. I am Ernst Stavro Blofeld. They told me you were assassinated in Hong Kong.
Yes, this is my second life.
You only live twice, Mr. Bond.
Target vehicle passing over central Russia, approaching Mongolia. Track is as predicted. All computer
as you see, I am about to inaugurate a little war. In a matter of hours, when America and Russia have annihilated each other, we shall see a new power dominating the world.
Alice Dryden gives her thoughts on You Only Live Twice at the big screen.
I went with a friend who spends considerably less of her life watching Bond films than I do, and she was very indignant that nobody thought to give Kissy some clothes in the finale. After she had run up and down a volcano crater and swam across a channel being shot at.
Having just seen You Only Live Twice,
at the cinema with the Bob Foster and the Kieran Richard. What is it that we thought about it, fellas? What do you think, Bobbo?
Again, I thought you saw the grand scale of it. Obviously, the first scene with the abducting spacecraft, and then the titles were mind-blowing for me, and the recovery of the body underwater. Yeah.
Mm. Kieran?
It's truly a spectacle for the screen, I would say. It's the first movie of its kind within the franchise thus far, and I think it was purely meant to be seen on the big screen. Mm. The things that stood out for me were obviously some of the wider shots, Kobe Dock fight, for example, but then the music as well, the musical cues. There were several I noticed on the big screen with the surround sound that I've never noticed before. So it was enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah, it's interesting how you look at something that you're so familiar with, and yet you see it on the big screen.
See it in a different light.
And you do, you see it in a different light. Yeah. I particularly enjoyed the Little Nelly shots, I must admit. I said those, anything that was exterior looked fabulous on the big screen. It really did. And then the reveal of the inside of the volcano.
Ken Adams' volcano.
Yeah, you can see where the money went, can't you?
I really wish I'd have seen that for real life at the time.
Yeah.
It must have been spectacular to see that.
Because it was more or less where the 007 stage is now, I suppose, but it was a separate build.
Obviously, the budget for that was the entire budget for Doctor No. Yes.
Right. $1 million. Volcano cost $1 million, didn't it? So, it was good to see. And as Kieran said as well, there are lots of music cues, again, that we're very familiar with, but I heard stuff for the first time tonight that I've never heard before, which means I'm going to have to now explore the soundtrack again just to make sure that
if they are there.
I've not gone deaf during during the whole thing.
The other thing that I said to John was obviously Connery's performance. I mean, I've always almost regarded this film in the past as, oh, it's the one where Connery is really bored before we finally jumped ship. But watching it on the big screen, honestly, his performance is actually, it's fantastic throughout, and he doesn't really showcase any boredom. So I've pleasantly been proved wrong to
me. I said that it's not my favourite Connery performance, I must admit, on the basis that, you know, the trouble that he had in Japan and all the other bits and pieces. But as you say, I mean, he does carry it off. You know, he's an actor after all. So, I mean, he's doing his job terribly well.
What I noticed this time, and I don't think I've noticed it before, is when they apply the Japanese makeup, how short a period he's actually got it on. Once they've got the wedding stroke honeymoon out of the way, I think it's gone completely, and it's back to his normal hair again.
Yeah. Even now, looking at it, it's just such a... I mean, he's 6'2"? I mean, he's the biggest Oriental guy you've ever seen in your entire life. He's huge.
Bending down.
And then, of course, when he gets into the, he's the astronaut.
Yeah.
And he's the tallest astronaut out of all of these tiny, small astronauts. And
the only thing that gives him away is
his breathing unit.
He was holding his case.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't let anyone
hand it. Very bizarre. That's
conditioned.
His air conditioner, that's why Blofeld's in the position he is today, because he can spot at 150 paces a really tall Scotsman.
And can keep a cat under control.
Yes.
Not.
Yeah. Tiddles didn't want to be there, did he?
Absolutely. And of course, I can bring everyone's attention to the YouTube video of the cat trying to escape Donald's grasp. But it's well worth a watch if one has never seen it. But again, it's what I was saying to these guys, the performance of Donald Pleasant. I mean, he's one of my favourite actors. I mean, like myself, he's a Nottinghamshire lad, and
that's right.
And me and John have met him.
We met him. Yeah.
Wow! But honestly, no, he's not actually in it for that.
No,
much
he's
time,
not.
Is he?
No, he's not. No, and of course, he took over from the other guy on the basis of his dialogue, wasn't it, or his accent was so strong. So he was kind of learning it as he goes, and he is almost the archetypal Bond villain.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Evil is very clearly based on him. As are a number of other villains. You know, the scar, that suit, you know, which of course Blofeld then wears again in Spectre, more or less, and again in Diamonds, you know, so they've got that look about it.
The trapped bridge, of course.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
All
these elements all have been put together over the years in a variety of different mediums in order to form the spy spoofs that we have today.
The spy spoofs, are quite right. I'm going to leave it on that, spy spoofs. So out of 10 then, boys, what do you reckon, Bob?
7.5.
Seven and a half.
I was going to say a good 7.
A good 7. Yeah, okay, that seems fair. We'll go 6.5, 7. So it's not my favourite, Connery, but a fair 7, I think, is all right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, until next... So it's Diamonds next. No, it's not. It's you not boys are off to see On a Majesty's Eyes.
Yeah.
So I shall rejoin them for Diamonds, and we shall regroup and send more thoughts after that. Signing off. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, we're now listening to the sounds of Frank Sinatra's That's Life, made famous from the film Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. No. We've just come out of You Only Live Twice here at the Trafford Centre, and... Personally, I'm blown away. I mean, Sam, first of all, that's twice now in, what, 4 days?
Twice is the only way to watch.
Yeah, you did say
it. It is true, yeah. Well, I can honestly say this one wasn't... There was no tedious bits in this at all. It was all good. Like, the pacing was great.
Yeah.
The music, I know, like, there was times where you were like, oh, my God, because it's it's just so beautiful. I mean... All the sets, the locations, just everything about it is just gorgeous to me. Spectacular.
Because you've got, you know, it's famous because of all the on-location Japanese stuff, but all the studio stuff from Ken Adam, and obviously the creator at the end, it's just another... It's one notch up from Thunderbolt, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it keeps... The scale and the grandeur just keeps being cranked up and up. And yeah, I mean, like you say... It is incredible, the stuff that's on location in Japan, and you really feel like you're there, and the different environments that they choose, from the sumo wrestling to, you know, the wedding ceremony and things like that. It's just like, if you feel like you're there. But then when you get to the volcano lair and everything like that, it's just such a good action film as well. It's so good.
The storytelling's brilliant, the pacing, I think, like you said, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
I know people have a few issues with Thunderbolt, I don't particularly, but it's even sort of snappier. There's no sagging whatsoever. It's like middle, you know, beginning, middle and end, three acts, clear structure.
Yeah.
The only sad thing is, I suppose, that two of the main characters are just in the last act, aren't they? You know, Kissy and Blofeld, but...
Yeah, I think with Blofeld it's more understandable. I think you have entire build-up for years and years, and then to lead to that is great. But I think with Kissy, I mean, you don't even get to hear her name. And I think
it's really
disappointing. I think they do such a good job of balancing, like, you know, authentic Japanese culture, at least at the time anyway, mostly with, like you said, the sumo wrestling and the wedding. I think it's really good to showcase, you know, you are in this unique location, especially for the time, show it off. And so to have, you know, Kissy there and then not really utilise her as much, or, you know, I think it's a bit of an issue to have Aki for so long. You know,
yeah,
I think she's probably the Bond girl who's alive the longest and then is killed off because she's there almost from the very beginning. So it's quite jarring then to not get Kissy's name just really
weirds
me out, which is a shame. But, I mean, overall, I mean, she still at least is helpful and does stuff. So,
Who do you say the main Bond girl is? I've always thought Aki,
Aki, you know, for the very reason that Kissy's only really in it towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you say, you know, you don't even get to know her name. And Aki, I don't know, I've always thought there seems to be a nice connection between her and
Sean's Bond. Because they're regretfully impossible.
Yeah, yeah. They immediately go to each other, and he is showing something there that he would like to marry her, basically.
Whoa,
I mean, she's a bit naive in, like, oh, you wouldn't touch that.
Yeah, home, oh, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
But is she doing it as a joke? I think she's a bit knowing, isn't she? Maybe.
I think it's up for interpretation.
But
no, it is a shame. But, I mean, I would say Tanaka Tiger is just... I love him. He's
brilliant, isn't he?
One of the very best allies.
Yes.
He really is.
I know he's dubbed, but he does seem so different from, you know, Largo. I know it's the same voice, but...
Yeah. Oh,
it's a completely different character.
Yeah, yeah.
The dubbing, you wouldn't be able to tell, would you? You know, the mouth and all that.
It's just brilliant.
And he gets involved at the end, doesn't he?
Oh, he does,
see that.
I love that, because he's almost like a cross between M and Bond.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
You know, because he's like in charge of the Secret Service or whatever it is. But then he's there, getting stuck in at the end. Brilliant. And he saves Bond's life, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. He
throws the star thing, you can't really call them, into Blofeld's hand as he's about to shoot him.
Well, all the Japanese agents side help a lot in a lot of ways. I mean, Aki saves Bond a lot of times.
Yeah.
Kissy saves Tanaka by shooting someone.
She does,
You know, so, I mean, they're all helping each other, which is really good. I've always liked it when there's, like, a little kind of like a little gang or something of like,
yeah,
of like support.
Scooby Doo gang.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, that, and I kind of like, yeah, that about Thunderball as well. Like when there's, yeah, people at hand to support.
And the local as well.
Yeah. So they know their shit.
Yeah, yeah, they know the area. Yeah, they do. Yeah,
and you kind of think, oh, right, okay, well, Bond actually does not know. He's actually going to utilize the people who are here who know better than him. And I think it's good that he just takes that help, so.
I do still think, I think I said it in the No Time to Die review, I can't believe how it starts with Bond is dead, but of course he isn't.
Yeah, because...
I know, but you know, it's quite it's almost playing with the audience, a bit like From Rush With Love.
Yeah.
That's how it ends, both pre-title sequences end with Bond's dead. No, surely he isn't. No, he isn't. And then, I don't know, just that, I love that thing when he comes down, the, you know, into the submarine, it's just...
Request permission to come up.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. There's probably not quite as many jokey bits as the last two.
No, I thought that. Yeah, definitely. Because when in Thunderball in particular, he's so...
Oh yeah, he's loving it.
Every time. But I'd say the action in this one and the amount of you know, kind of like memorable scenes, kind of like completely sinks what has happened before. Yeah. It's just so many things that happen. Every scene, you know, scene feels like it's outstayed its welcome.
No.
And that's really, really important.
There's some really good fight scenes, aren't there? There's obviously the one in the Sato's office with the Rock's granddad.
Yeah.
There's the hands one we're obsessed with. But there's individual fights. You know, there's the one on the docks. There's all that incredible stuff. There's the ones, you know, with at the end in the main battle. Well, loads of individual fights in that.
Maybe it's just me being thick, but something I'd never, you know, really appreciated before. Obviously, when it's in the ninja training scene, you see that one guy with the sword with the people around him, and then you see him doing the same. It's him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In ninja gear with a balaclava.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He does the
same sword movement. Yeah. So the way he puts it away as well. Yeah.
Because a lot of that was cut on our ITV version. Yeah, so we the second half of their equivalent of their Q scene in the Q in Japan.
Yeah.
Where it's showing you how to use all the gadgets. Yeah. That was cut.
Yeah, yeah.
So we the cigarette at the end, right? Yeah.
Oh, no, it was funny when you were like, oh, this is when the ad break.
Oh, yeah, Because they sort of did that, like, George Lucas wipes for the recorded version we had.
Yeah.
But I always remember that, well, I think it was like early 90s, we were really going back, when they showed them all on, I think it might have been the first time they'd ever shown them all in order to that point. And I always remember the advert for next week's, and the You Only Live Twice one was the one like, we get to see Blofeld's face.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing for me. And, I can remember the little edit of the advert. It ended with that shot of Bond emerging with the grey sort of suit on at the end. You know, all the explosions going in the back, hiding behind the Asato chemical barrels and everything. And, you know, You Only Live Twice next week. And, you know, I'm really excited. And I know Harry and John absolutely loved it. We can join them. And Sam's seen it twice. That's so good. You are going to try and see them all, I assume, Sam.
I spoke with someone about this today. I was like, I feel like at this point I've kind of, you're committed now, I am. Wasn't the original plan at all. Now it's like I'm five down, I've got 20 to go, and I'm like, well, maybe I should just do it.
Or just go as far as you can and then see where it takes you.
And then skip Quantum of Solace. But
I'm going to be there.
I will see them all. I will see them all. Like, maybe.
That's the one that's...
Thoughts and opinions may change. Yeah.
Only one Sean left, though. That's the sad part, isn't it?
I know.
It's a doozy.
Yeah. He's just unbelievable. Well, come on. He wasn't bored in this from what I saw. I know there's the odd little shot, which people complain at. But... less is more sometimes.
I've never got bored, and I've got more always probably just a bit angry. I think it is probably more about the situation, everything that's going on in his life and whatnot. So I don't see him as bored, and I just see him, he's just trying to get the job done, and maybe he's just not...
Yeah, he knew it was taking, his last one.
Yeah, he's maybe not taking as much time to enjoy it. He's like, all right, let's just, you know, get through it. But I mean, he's still there. The bond that we've seen is still there.
Well, like we said, we've got one Sean left, but next week it's Honor Majesties, and it's a massive departure. It's one that you've got to see on the big screen. I think we'll be there in some different dates, but we can't wait. But I suppose here from the Trust Centre, it's over and out, heading for home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really the best.
Yeah. Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.